The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laugh as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Shout out to our own Santa Claus, the one and only Mr. Max Williams.
What?
They call me Ben. Let's get some. We're going to keep going. Let's get some weird Christmas music. Getting the season. Noel, I would say you and I are fans of Christmas time, right?
Yeah, especially in the spring. Which is, you know, when I like to celebrate Christmas. People look at me kind of funny, but, you know, I think Christmas should be able to be celebrated year-round. We should make our own Christmas traditions, because as it turns out, you know, the Americanized sort of Coca-Cola-fied version of Santa Claus and the Christmas polar bears and all that is all a product of marketing. I'm more of a fan of the weird, dark, spooky, folkloric traditions of Christmas that is much more prevalent in other parts of the world. And boy, are we getting into one that's quite a doozy today.
Agreed. Give me the Krampuses.
Yes.
Give me your tired, poor, huddled folklore yearning to be normalized.
Bring me your children stuffed into sacks and made into stews to be devoured by witch-like troll creatures.
But we're not taking Black Pete in the deal.
Oh, no.
Just to be clear.
No. He's canceled forever at all times.
He's canceled. So canceled by us, at least. Yes, in typical Ridiculous History fashion, folks, we are celebrating a holiday kind of late or very early, however you want to say it. We just have so much fun with this story. We can't wait to explore it with you. We do want to give some brief shout outs. First, big, big shout out to our peer podcast, Stuff You Missed in History Class. We were talking off air and believe they had had a take on this back in the day, several years ago now. But we're still fascinated with this. We actually, just before we're rolling, we're talking about how much we dig Iceland. I think it's definitely on my bucket list to go. I haven't been able to go since the pandemic hit. But what about you, Noel, Max?
Oh, most definitely. Ever since I first discovered Sigur Rós in college, I've wanted to go to Iceland. And just for that sole reason right there. Just like hoping I would run into them.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely going to run into Sigur Rós and Björk just down the boulevard. You know, they're just there always, running around, drinking tiny cups of espresso and eating rotten shark meat. That's just how it goes. No, my girlfriend has been, and a few friends of mine have been, and it's a very beautiful place, but apparently stunningly expensive. That's what I've heard.
Yes, stunningly expensive. Also, if you don't like cold weather, it's not for you. But it is an adventure worth having. A lot of my friends have gone as well. but I haven't talked to them yet about a particularly Icelandic Christmas tradition, something called the Yule Lads. You see, if you are a young tyke growing up in Iceland, you have not one Father Christmas, but you have 13 Father Christmases. They're not called the Yule Dads, but they're called the Yule Lads. And during the 13 days leading up to actual facts Christmas, these guys, who are whimsical, merry, little rascals, a little bit mischievous, they take turns visiting children. And the way it goes, each of those nights, a kid places one of their shoes on the windowsill. And if you're a good kid, then that Yule Lad of that day will leave candy. And if not, they'll do some other stuff that we'll get into. Right now, they're a lot less creepy today, right? They've been kind of sanitized in the great telephone game of history. But back in 1746, parents were legitimately worried about what these stories were doing to kids. So maybe we talk a little bit about the Yule Lads, right? They aren't just like thing 1 through 13 in some Dr. Seussian way. They have their own distinct personalities. They got their own vibe, all 13 of them. They're a crew of individuals.
That's right. And they've got some very interesting traits, let's just say. It's almost like a Snow White kind of situation. The Yule Lads each have their own personalities, much in Smurf-like fashion as well. The National Museum of Iceland describes it thusly, and we got this from a Smithsonian article. Meet the 13 Yule Lads, Iceland's own mischievous Santa Clauses. And here's what they have to say. Dozens of different names for the Yule Lads appear in different folk tales and stories. A popular poem about the Yule Lads by the late Johannes Ur Kutlum, which first appeared in the book Julin Koma, Christmas is Coming, in 1932, served to make their names and number much better known. The names of the 13 Yule Lads that most Icelanders know today are all derived from that poem. They each come on their own nights of the season. We're not native Icelandic speakers, so we're going to do our best. Some of these pronunciations are a little tricky for our American tongues, but we're going to do our best here. So on the first night, December 12th, we have Stekkjarstaur, also known as Gimpy, who is known for harassing sheep in order to suckle some of their milk. But he has these stiff peg legs, so he's not entirely successful in doing this, usually. Then who do we have on the second night, the 13th of December?
Well, it's interesting because what we'll see is that it's almost like a heist crew. All of the Yule Lads have their specific thing they like to do, and they're often stymied by some sort of other condition. So the next guy is Gully Gok. That would be his English translation. He hides in gullies, and he's all about waiting for the right time to sneak into the local cowshed and steal milk. And it goes on, the names like Spoon Licker, Pot Scraper, Skyr Gobbler, Skyr being a kind of yogurt. The guy mm-hmm. just really likes yogurt. And then one of my favorites, I don't know why, is Sausage Swiper.
Yeah.
The 20th of December, he hides in rafters and he steals sausages that are being smoked.
Exactly. Then we have the perviest of the crew, Window Peeper, who is known for looking in the families as they slumber, I imagine, and eyeballing things to steal. Sure. Okay, Window Peeper. I'm sure that's what you're up to. And then we have Gatapufur, or Doorway Sniffer, who, that's what he does. He's got a big old nose that he uses to sniff doorways. And he is looking specifically for Icelandic holiday pastries. Then on December 23rd, we have Meat Hook or Ketkrokur, and he steals meat using a hook. A lot of food theft going on right here. And then we have Candle Stealer.
This is like the final boss.
That's right. He's the final boss, or Kertnoksnikur, Kertnoksnikur, I think. And he follows children, as they go to bed, and then he steals their candles. So all of this mischief and mayhem totals a 13-day debacle leading up to Christmas. And after this is all done, they all go back to their cave somewhere in the mountains of Iceland.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Which I love this story. I think folklore is a great way to learn about culture.
We missed Door Slammer, by the way. There's Door Slammer, too.
We missed Door Slammer. I don't know if we got to. We did say Pot Scraper, right? Did we talk about
Bowl
Stubby?
Liquor. Bowl Liquor as well. We've got Bowl Liquor as well. Yeah. I think that rounds out the crew there. They're all doing very similar things. They're all either licking spoons or scraping pots or stealing food or
smelling,
smelling doors, peeping in through windows. They're all a bunch of creeps, it would seem. I don't find this charming at all.
I find it, you know, I like a good rascal story. The reason they all have kind of related predilections is due to the fact that they are siblings. During these 13 days and throughout the rest of the year, their parents are around, Grilla and Lepeloi, and they're the enforcers. They will punish kids who are very, very naughty. They are scary, ugly, mean, and anybody who runs into them is considered terribly unlucky. Grilla, in particular, is a hard case because Grilla will sneak into the homes of insolent children, shove them in a sack, and eat them in a stew back in her lair. Yikes, yoinks. If you ask any Icelander about her, they will tell you that their parents told them the story of Grilla, and that they genuinely are scared or were scared of her growing up. And I don't know if we mentioned this, but when we're talking about the Smithsonian article, what's great is you can see some cool stylized pictures of the Yule lads, who are a little old to be called lads, but shout out to Rachel Neuer for excellent work there. Do check out that article.
Yeah, and the tourism board, I guess, of Iceland collaborated with the magazine by Icelandic Hotels, and there's a really great article called Iceland's 13 Yule Lads Don't Call Them Santas, which we're also pulling some good info from. So yeah, I mean, you're right, Ben. This is a cautionary tale for children. The Yule Lads, maybe a little less so because they did kind of evolve into more just like kooky, mischievous bringers of Yuletide cheer.
Watch your sausages.
Yeah, exactly. But the origin of the story is much, much, much darker. So Grilla in particular is the most terrifying of all of these figures. She is known to be an Icelandic Christmas ghoul who is quite large, much more of like a combination of like a witch and a troll. And has, I think, cloven hooves, so very Krampus-like, and also 13 tails, presumably one for each of her sons, representing each of the Yule lads. She lives deep in the mountains with her, you know, demonic children, and allows one to come to the village on each day leading up to Christmas. And Christmas essentially serves as open season on naughty children. whom, you know, given the opportunity, she'll throw into a sack and boil them alive. And this is a tale that children in Iceland grew up knowing about, like much the same as Krampus. I mean, here in America, Santa Claus kind of occupies both of those roles. He'll give you a good present if you're good and nothing if you're bad, or like, you know, a lump of coal or whatever it might be, but nothing particularly, you know, damaging or dangerous, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is fascinating because we're also seeing religious syncretism. I want to point out, and I think we'll get into this a little bit later, but Grýla originally, I think, is a giantess or a troll. And she, when she's first mentioned in this poem of Grýla, she's not linked to Christmas lore at all. She's just linked to being the monstrous matriarch of the Yule lads. She lives deep, deep in the mountains with her demonic brood. Also, she's known for eating children, but she also has a little bit more of a sophisticated palate. She is thought to have killed and eaten her first three husbands because they bored her. And at one time, she just thought these guys would be better as soup than they would be as romantic partners. And apparently, in some versions of the story, these folks, the Yule lads and their mom, roll through with a cat. Jólak Kúturin, the child-eating Christmas cat, is part of the crew, and he stands by to do his own devouring as misbehaving children boil away in the family stew. So to be very clear, if you are a young Icelandic child, the tradition is this. Be good, you get some candy. Otherwise, you will be boiled alive and eaten. The choice is yours. That seems like a little heavy metal kind of way to treat kids. But there's so much stuff I want to talk about with folklore of Iceland. But maybe we should start out by talking about like where the Yule lads come from, because they have, like you can already tell, they have a lot in common with other Christmas traditions that are meant to keep children behaving, right? To obey the authorities, to obey the parents. If you're good, you get toys. If you're bad, I think the more modern tradition says you get coal or a potato.
Oh, yeah. Right? Not, yeah, but you know, not just potato, alive. Potato is at least a delicious snack if you boil.
You can do so many things with a potato.
Put it in the stew, right? Boil them, mash them, stick them in the stew.
I've been doing these potato fondant things. Have you heard of this?
I know it's the great ones. Yeah.
It's a little extra work, but I love it. I make them like once a week now.
Very nice. Very fancy.
Yeah.
That's the thing though, Ben. I mean, like, you know, our traditions, you know, I mean, we've talked about how Santa Claus is sort of the original conspiracy theory that teaches children to distrust authorities, you know, specifically parents. But it usually is revealed at some point, whether the kids figure it out themselves or the parents, you know, let the cat out of the bag, not the child-eating cat, just the proverbial cat. This is all kind of made up, folkloric type stuff. But the understanding in Iceland, even with the parents for the most part, is that these creatures are real. There is a serious tradition of belief in this kind of folklore, especially in things like elves, which are oftentimes demonic spirits of the forest. There was a show, I believe it was an Icelandic show called Elves, that was sort of like almost like E.T. meets the Gremlins kind of. It wasn't my favorite, but it was about these flesh-eating elf creatures that, you know, wreak havoc and cause, you know, utter chaos. So there is a pretty significant, you know, sense that these are actual creatures that dwell in the surrounding woods. There is a guy by the name of Magnus Skarfjonensson, who is the headmaster of Iceland's elf school and a top researcher of elf folklore in Iceland. And he says that the Yule lads' more benign kind of presentation is a much more recent invention, since Iceland has become a bit more of a thriving kind of comparatively metropolitan area that's very big on tourism. But there was a time when things were very, very dire. Food was very, very scarce, and the winters were brutally cold in times before, you know, centralized heating and air and all of that stuff. So if you think about it in those terms, these creatures coming in and stealing your Christmas dinner or your candles, those would be serious threats to your livelihood, to your survival.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got to go here to Terry Gorell, a folklorics professor at the University of Iceland. And he talks a little bit about the evolution of multiple separate cultural traditions into what we call the huldufolk, or the hidden people, today. They're living in a dimension just to the left of yours. And it's true that at times, like, construction has been halted for fear of offending the hidden folk. I'd love to hear from some fellow ridiculous historians who have spent time in Iceland. I'd love to hear your take on this. I think we all would. The thing is, Iceland is really a multicultural place. Over time, these separate concepts that people brought with them to the area merged into this collective idea of the hidden people. And now there are multitudes of theories about them, sometimes contradictory. One saying these were the, quote, dirty, strange children of Eve that she hid from God. And when God discovered her secrets, condemned them to an alternate world. And then, of course, other people say that they're fallen angels. You can encounter no shortage of anecdotes, of eyewitness accounts from people who believe they have in one way or another encountered the hidden folk. You can see a catalog of this over at the Elf School's website, which is theelfschool.com. Just go to Contemporary Tales and you will see people who seem to genuinely believe they've run into something supernatural or extraordinary. I think the Elf School said 54% of Icelanders, just over half, believe that the hidden folk are real. It's strange, because if they are treated as real, what's strange about it is they've been treated as real despite the fact that their image has tremendously softened from the present day. Over the past 100 years or so, they become much more friendly, much more like, oh, you little scamp, instead of being, you know, the people who might mean your family might not make it through winter. They were guys who stole the Christmas food. They're sniffing they're sniffing at the windows when you're cooking the lamb. They're stealing milk from sheep. They might leave you to starve. They eat the candles, and the candles are important because candles provide warmth, right? When you're inside.
Correct. Yeah.
I think a big factor of their evolution was really the emergence of Christianity in Iceland, which didn't come about until, what, 1000 CE, I think?
That's right. That was after the king of Norway made it the law of the land to be Christian and sent missionaries to convert the indigenous people of Iceland. Of course, you know, as we know, when these things happen, it does not just wipe clean the slate of, generations of tradition and folklore. But as we know, with the way, like, pagan holidays oftentimes have merged with Christian traditions like Easter and things that were once looked very, very different from what they became. They don't entirely disappear. They just sort of morph into something more palatable, you know, for the Christian ruling regime. And oftentimes these things are encouraged or mandated by laws. So there was a law that was passed in the 16th century that said, quote, all disorderly and scandalous entertainment at Christmas and other times and Shrovetide revels are strongly forbidden on pain of serious punishment. And then in 1746, there was a public decree that actually forbid telling children about the Yule Lads in order to scare them straight, as they say.
Right. Yeah, the idea was that this story, as it was told, was so terrifying that it was, in a way, traumatic to children. So for the good of the kids, the young Icelanders, we've got to stop unnecessarily scaring the pants off of them. You know, it doesn't seem like a hot take today to say, hey, we shouldn't normalize telling our children that a monster will throw them in a sack and then kill them at the tender young age of 6 by boiling them alive. I don't think that's a hot take. Maybe yeah. It was a different time. But, you know, just say they're trying to steal the milk.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now. Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
There were always conflicting accounts about the Yule Lads. We've normalized the number 13. That's considered canonical now. But back in the day, you would hear people say there are 80 of these jokers. That's a long way to Christmas if they're showing up one day after the next. Of course, they say they have different personalities. One of the reasons for their recent popularity can be traced back to 1932. A poem by Johannes Fra Kutlum is sort of, you'll hear it compared to like The Night Before Christmas. There's an English translation. This poem from 1932 is a pretty simple rhyme scheme, and it's pretty fun to say. It's just to give you the beginning. Let me tell the story of the lads of few charms who once upon a time used to visit our farms. And it just goes on about, you know, describing everything we've described. They're mean, but it makes it seem like they're way more fun, right? They're not trying to kill you. They don't bring the cat to eat you. It's supposed to kind of make it sound whimsical, sort of the same way that Father Christmas went through so many iterations until Coca-Cola nailed down what he looked like, right? And now all of a sudden we got the polar bear. I love that polar bear. I don't care. Polar bears are awesome.
I mean, they're, you know, terrifying. They'll definitely like rip your head off and eat your guts. But, you know, the cuddly CGI ones are nice. They enjoy Coca-Cola, not human flesh. Again, sanitized version of all things where holidays are concerned.
Right.
Because, you know, we see the rhyming delight of this poem kind of presenting these Yule lads as more kind of boorish, sort of oafish kind of creatures, not necessarily out to do harm, but just more, you know, kind of pranksters. Yeah. And they do have a bit of a mean streak, but they don't really necessarily mean to do any children any particular harm. And, you know, to your point about nailing down kind of what they look like, they've started to take on much more of a sort of socially acceptable white bearded Santa Claus, sort of David the Gnome kind of vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. And these costumes apparently don't reflect the real deal Yule lads you'd meet on the mean streets of Iceland. One folklorist tells us they've met more than 800 Icelanders that believe they've seen elves, and 4 or 5 that believe they've seen Yule lads. And the Yule lads that these folks said they saw were always described as old-fashioned dressed, poor, a little dirty, a little rude and hungry, trying to get food, which that could be a lot of people.
That's very true. But let's also not forget that this was all based on scarcity and the threat of starvation, right? Because not only are the Yule lads stealing food from children and from these families, they are in need of stealing food because they themselves are relegated to living in caves in this very scrappy dog-eat-dog existence, you know? I mean, I don't know. It's clear that Grilla and her husband, with the unpronounceable name, like to feast on human flesh, but the Yule lads, it seem, require human sustenance, like sausages and batter and cookies and stuff. So, I mean, they live a pretty tortured existence, it would seem.
Yeah. It's like we were saying earlier, folklore is amazing because it gives us this insight into the story and evolution of the culture from which it originates. And you nailed it, man. The Iceland was not a super easy place to live for a long, long time before you have the advent of heating technology or different supply chains to transport food. That's why some things are so expensive in Iceland. It is a harsh environment. And the Yule lads, in a very real way, are a story about that. And now that Iceland has become less of a threatening environment, right, for people living in the modern day, it kind of makes sense that the Yule lads would chill out a little bit. You know, they'd get a slightly less intense vibe, but the story is real. It did terrify children for a long time, and it is true. It got so bad that the story eventually, for a while, was banned.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, now I think it's more like St. Nicholas kind of situation where they'll leave little bags of toys in children's shoes.
Yeah,
so, now they're benevolent. You know, and they do sort of, I think the idea of the lead up to Christmas in this part of the country, and I think even in Germany and other parts of Europe, there's a bit of a mischief kind of quality to it. Like I almost think that like Christmas in Europe and in Iceland, parts of the world like that, it's almost like a combination of what we know as Christmas here and what we would celebrate as Halloween. You know, there's a lot more of like a spirit kind of like quality to it and like, you know, ghosts and ghouls and things like that around Christmas.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's a, you see again, the religious syncretism, because we see a lot of pre-Christian traditions that got folded into various stories. You know, it's the same reason Easter all of a sudden has a rabbit and eggs, which is not biblical canon, but no. Anyhow, I wanted to take a second before we wrap today's episode and talk about one of my favorite weird genres of film, which is the Christmas horror story. Have you guys seen Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale?
I haven't, but you've mentioned it a couple of times, and a good friend of mine has also suggested that I check it out. I have seen Krampus, which is lot of fun and very gremlins-y, but I've heard great things about Rare Exports.
Yeah, and it's appropriate for older children. It's like a fantasy action horror film that's from, oh, it's from Finland. That's right. I don't want to spoil it, but it's about the secret behind the real Santa Claus. And it's pretty great. Yeah. So check it out if you get a time. Krampus is cool too. You know, what we're doing? No, let's say this. Let's say we're not late with our Christmas episode. We're very, very early, and we want to give you time. We want to give you time to check out some of these amazing, amazing stories, Christmas horror films, but also stories like this around the world that come from someplace much older. It's fascinating.
Yeah, and if many folks may be not particularly familiar with some of these more niche kind of holiday traditions from around the world, the Yule Lads and Grilla in particular have not terribly long ago, back in 2018, made an appearance in a pretty mainstream Netflix show called The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is a kind of more adult kind of teen retelling of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which was, I think it was maybe a book series, and then it was a TV series starring Melissa Joan Hart, who you'll remember of a certain age, folks of a certain age from Clarissa Explains It All. But the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina has got a lot more kind of Satanism and like ghouls and demons and all kinds of crazy gore and creepy stuff in it. And there is a Christmas special of that series that specifically talks about Grilla and the Yule Lad. So I haven't seen it, but I look forward to checking it out because that sounds like a lot of fun.
I kind of also want to go hunting. I want to, not hunting, that's the wrong word. Hidden folk, if you're hearing this, I apologize for that. I want to go on an expedition to Iceland to see what's what, see if we can find some hidden folk in a culturally respectful way. Would you guys go with me?
Totally. Bet. As long as you lead the way, I'll bring up the rear.
Yeah, you just pay for it, Ben, and I'm in.
Oh, no. We're going to try.
I want Sigur Rós there.
Yeah, we're going to try to get this to be something that our bosses will let us put in the budget. So Ridiculous Histories World Tour starting in Iceland, folks. Let's manifest it. As our spiritual friends say, let's make it happen. Thank you in advance so much to everybody who comes out and sees us live in Iceland. Thank you to Sigur Rós. Thank you to our super producer, Mr. Max Williams. And Noel, so glad you're back from your travels. It sounds like you had a wonderful time. Are you going to go back around Christmas time to Europe?
You know, I think it might be a little cold for me, but I did have such a great time in Berlin in particular and made some really good friends and met a few really great listeners. No one from this show in particular, but some folks from Stuff They Don't Want You to Know and Movie Crush, RIP. But yeah, I liked it so much. I think I want to go back once a year. I think it was my favorite city I've ever visited. And last little pop cultural touchstone on this type of thing, it's Norwegian, but there is a film called Troll Hunter I believe the early 2000s that is like a found footage kind of Blair Witch type thing, directed by Andre Overdahl, that I quite enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. I love this one. There's also, I've been waiting for a sequel for years, but I think the sequel got canceled. So enjoy Troll Hunter for what it is now. It's aged well too. I actually recently had that on in the background when I was doing some research on trolls. And speaking of trolls, thank you as well, as always, to our own terrifying Yule Lad, Mr. Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. The Quister. How's that for a thank you segue?
He is the quintessential bridge troll. I love it. And he actually does make you solve a riddle to get through. That's basically what he does every time that we encounter him.
Really does. He's quite good. Even when we're not on air, it's like, man, I'm just trying to get some coffee. And he's like, coffee there may be if you answer these riddles three. And I'm like, yes, come on,
exactly.
Dude. It's 9 a.m. Get out of my way.
Yeah, it's been nice not having to go into the office as much, so we can usually avoid that. But then sometimes he'll just pop into my Zoom and try to make me answer riddles. And I'm like, I already have my coffee, man. I don't need you. Be gone. And then I just kick him off the Zoom. And then he sends me a sad face emoji.
And speaking of sending things, we would love to hear stories of regional holiday celebrations unique to your part of the world. So let us know. You can find us on the internet where we are Ridiculous Historians on Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram, not just as a show, but as individuals. You can follow my urban exploration and my weird research stuff on Twitter at BenBolinHSW. Or you can find me on Instagram, where I am at Ben Bolin, B-O-W-L-I-N. Big things coming there. Stay tuned or stay tuned. Mr. Noel Brown, are the rumors true, my friend? Are you sipping the social meds?
Well, I don't really play into rumor mongering, but I do, in fact, have an Instagram account, which you can find at HowNowNoelBrown. And I do have a couple of actual grid posts with some random snaps from my adventure in Berlin. So you can check that out there. Huge thanks to Max Williams, brother of Max Williams. It's like a Bride of Frankenstein situation. Alex Williams, who composed this theme. Christopher Hasiotis, Eve Jeffcoat, here in spirit. You, Ben Bolin, my main Yule Lad. We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva.
because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.